Show. Brett Lugs filling in today, tomorrow, and Wednesday as well. Honeybees. Research with honeybees to help deal with fetal alcohol spectrum disorder research. How in the world do they make that happen? Dr. Sarah Wood is the research chair in pollinator health and associate professor at the Western College of Vet Medicine at the University of Saskatchewan in Saskatoon. Joins us now to talk about that. Dr. Wood, welcome to the program.
Hi.
What in the world is this? How did you get to this point where you're working with honeybees doing research as it relates to fetal alcohol spectrum disorder in children?
Yeah, it seems like a bit of a stretch, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we know that honeybees are highly social animals. They have very complicated social behaviors that do have some similarities to our behavior as humans. So, for example, they have cooperative care of their young. They have division of labor, different tasks for different bees, and they also have overlapping generations where they have adults and children living in the same colony. And so, some of those behaviors and practices we also see in human societies. And so that led us to think that honeybees might be good models for human conditions that affect social behavior. And so some examples would be autism or fetal alcohol spectrum disorder.
But I can't get my head around doing research with these tiny little creatures related to FASD, fetal alcohol syndrome. So what do you do? Do you inject them with alcohol?
Yeah. So what we do is we rear the honeybees in the lab from a tiny larva to an adult bee, and that takes about 21 days. So the queen will lay eggs in the colony, and those eggs hatch, and then we transfer those newly hatched larvae to the lab, and we feed the newly hatched larvae ethanol in their larval diet. So we chronically expose them to ethanol at low concentrations during their development. And then we raise those ethanol-exposed larvae into adult bees. And then we reintroduce those adult bees into an observation hive. So that's a glass-sided hive where we're able to observe the behavior of the bees as they interact with their nestmates and their queen.
Okay, so I'm being a little flip with my terminology here, but do you find then that the bees in the colony reject the boozy bees?
That's a really good question. So we did have some trouble reintroducing our lab-reared bees into a colony, and they would reject both the controls and the treated bees. So we found a way around that where we introduced them initially in a little wire mesh cage. So that gave the colony time to get used to the bees. And then once they were used to the smell, then we released them freely into the colony and they accepted them.
So did you feel that the bees exhibited similar social behavior as, say, humans would?
So I wouldn't say that their behaviors are identical, but what we're looking for is a change, right? Mm. So a change in behavior of these ethanol-exposed bees relative to the controls. And so some of the behaviors we look at would be trophallaxis. So that's a fancy term for sharing food, the way that bees share food with each other. Also, we look at defensive behavior, so whether or not the colony bees are behaving aggressively toward the treated bees. And then we also just look at simple things like their locomotion. How far are they moving in the colony? And how often are they resting? And so we keep a record of all of these different behaviors, and then we can compare the ethanol-exposed bees to the treated bees, or to the controls. And if we notice a difference, then we can look further and we can look at their the way that genes are being expressed in their brain. Mm-hmm. So are there any changes in the genetic regulation of the brain that might explain the behavior change that we're seeing in the colony?
And I suppose with the fact you have a quick turnaround time with a bee from its birth, if you could, to maturity, just a matter of a few weeks, you're able to get some data fairly quickly then.
That's right. So that's what makes bees an excellent sort of preclinical model for understanding a human disease. And because bees are so social, you know, rats and mice, for example, would be other potential animal models, but they don't have the highly complicated social behavior of bees. So bees are quick and fairly economical to raise and are highly social. So all of these advantages make them a really great model that allows us to learn about the potential disease in humans, but also, you know, in the future, maybe we could use for drug discovery, right? We could test some potential therapies on our honeybee model of FASD and potentially identify promising treatments for humans.
Dr. Sarah Wood is my guest, research chair in pollinator health and associate prof at the Western College of Veterinary Medicine here in Saskatoon. Let's talk a little bit about FASD. I'm guessing from my limited knowledge of it, it's alcohol exposure to a pregnant woman and the child and the impact on them after they're born. So how does it usually manifest itself in children?
I guess that wouldn't be my area of expertise, but we do have a pediatrician on our team who is the expert in that area.
Yep.
But just in general, we do know that social behavior is one of the clinical signs, and it can be a challenging condition to accurately diagnose mm-hmm. because there can be different presentations. But that social behavior piece is the reason that we think honeybees would be a great model for this condition.
So who do you share this information then with? What do you do with this research?
So we want to share the information with different communities. So we want to share it with the public, which is what we're doing right now. We'd also like to share it with the scientific community, and we want to share it with patients and families because we know that, you know, FASD is often a stigmatized condition in our society. And so potentially by sharing research insights about honeybees are often a very charismatic and people are curious about this species, that can maybe put FASD in a more positive, less stigmatized way.
Sounds like fascinating research. We wish you a continued success with it, and thanks for your time.
Okay, thanks so much.
You bet. Dr. Sarah Wood joining us to talk about their research using honeybees and basically giving them alcohol as a way that they're able to do some research relating to FASD and its possible connection and the way it works in human beings and the similarities, how honeybees, in a lot of ways, while they seem far removed from us human beings, they do have some surprising similarities in their biology and social structure. It's 11:44. On the way, we've got some of the information coming out of Washington. Trump and Zelensky, we'll get to that next. The Evan Bray Show continues on CJME and CKOM. Heading towards the lunch hour. Good morning, Brent Laux with you. Evan Bray Show continues till 12:30, CKOM, CJME. So the eyes of the world are on the events in Washington, D.C. today. In the Oval Office, you have Trump and Zelensky taking questions from the media here for a short while. Then they're going to meet this afternoon with these leaders of seven European countries who are there as well. And then what comes out of that? We shall see. But here's a little bit about how the questioning went this morning.
President Zelensky, are you prepared to keep sending Ukrainian troops to their deaths for another couple years, or are you going to agree to redraw the maps?
Thank you for your question. So, first of all, you know, we live under each day attacks. You know that today have been a lot of attacks and a lot of wounded people, and the child was dead. It's a small bomb. One year and a half. So we need to stop this war, to stop Russia, and we need support, American and European partners. And we will do our best for this. So, and I think we showed that we are strong people, and we supported the idea of the United States, of personally of President Trump, to stop this war, to make a diplomatic way of finishing this war. And we are ready for trilateral, as President said. This is a good signal about trilateral. I think this is very good. Thank you.
Mr. President.
If the peace deal will be achieved, are you going to be willing to send American peacekeepers to Ukraine?
Well, we're going to work with Ukraine. We're going to work with everybody, and we're going to make sure that if there's peace, the peace is going to stay long term. This is very long term. We're not talking about a 2-year peace and then we end up in this mess again. We're going to make sure that everything's good. We'll work with Russia. We're going to work with Ukraine. We're going to make sure it works. And I think if we can get to peace, it's going to work. I have no doubt about it.
Your team has talked about security guarantees. Could that involve U.S. troops? Would you rule that out in the future?
We'll let you know that maybe later today. We're meeting with 7 great leaders of great countries also. And we'll be talking about that. They'll all be involved, but there'll be a lot of help when it comes to security. There's going to be a lot of help. It's going to be good. They are a first line of defense because they're there. They're Europe, but we're going to help them out also. We'll be involved.
Some of the comments that came just a short time ago in the Oval Office as U.S. President Trump and Ukrainian President Zelensky were meeting with members of the media. Trump. At that point, not ruling out U.S. troops to be in Ukraine as a security blanket, but he just said maybe we'll have something to say on that later today after the meeting that he's holding with Zelensky and the 7 European leaders. And Zelensky was also quick to point out that Russian attacks on Ukraine overnight took the lives of 10 people. I don't know, you know, this whole premise that in order for this to come to an end, that Ukraine has to give up so much of this land, some of it occupied by Russians right now, but some of it not. It's a bizarre situation. It's a high stakes visit, because if we don't get an agreement out of this today, then what next? And will Ukraine have to be on their own with the support of the European countries, at least? But will America actually just step away? And then Canada in this as well, how much our support will continue. So these meetings will be on through the afternoon in Washington. No idea when they'll end, but I'm sure that we'll be keeping an eye on it very closely once it's over and what Trump and Zelensky will have to say at that point. It's 11:53, high noon on the way here. Getting back to our text line, I wanted to share some more texts about interesting stuff that people have found as it came about because of this story that I was sharing earlier this morning about the Minnesota mechanic working on a Ford Edge, and he found a wallet that an assembly plant worker with Ford had lost when it fell out of his shirt 11 years ago, and he was able to find the guy and gave him the money and the cards and everything that was in the wallet. Neat story. But we've had some great stories as well that people have been sending in. I love this one. Ryan says, I was doing a kitchen renovation on a 1940s home, Inside the wall on a cross brace, I found a roach clip. It was shaped like a revolver with the remains of a joint still in it. Even back then, the drywallers were stoners. That's Ryan in Swift Current. Well, you know, you think about the 1940s, I wasn't around in the 1940s, but you know, marijuana has been around forever. And remember, the movie came out in the 1930s. You can find it online, Reefer Madness. And it was all about the evil marijuana weed and what it will do. So yeah, I guess it's not hard to imagine that, somebody doing some housework in the 1940s in that home had a roach clip. Where would they find their marijuana back in the 1940s? You know, nowadays, you got a store on just about every corner. And then before that, it was more of a criminal venture. I suppose people maybe grew their own marijuana. 1-877-332-TALK, 1-877-332-8255. Any comments or calls, we'd love to hear from you today. The other story, of course, we're keeping an eye on the Battle River Crowfoot by-election happening just across the border in Alberta. You know, and it's getting a lot of attention, this business with this ridiculously long ballot, 214 names on there. But at the end of the day, you know, it's a pain and it's silly, and I'm sure Ottawa is probably going to make some kind of legislative change in the future here where there's going to be more restrictions in some ways. You know, maybe it'd be more of a financial commitment you have to make if you want to put your name on the ballot or have to have more signatories. I don't know. They'll come up with something because it's just getting out of hand. But at the end of the day, for the people that are voting in Battle River Crowfoot today, they have to write the name of the person they want to win on the ballot. Something a little bit different, a little more old school, I guess. So I'm seeing it in the voting booth that these people will be in today. There will be that long list. I think they said the original ballot, if they printed it, would have been over 6 feet long. Like, come on. You know, the people behind this long ballot initiatives claim that it's just their way to get attention. They want Ottawa to make changes in that they want the elections in this country organized more by a separate committee, a standalone committee, instead of a division of the federal government. But at the end of the day, the people will go into the booth, they'll write their favored name on the ballot, put it in the box. So just that process itself, I'm guessing it's going to slow down the count. There's 85,000 eligible voters in that riding. And in the last federal election back in April, they had a 72% turnout. So they had a pretty strong turnout at that particular point. So I'm guessing they'll have that kind of a turnout, maybe even more this time around. Polls close at 8:30 tonight. So one would think it'll take them a while to get all those ballots together and get them counted. Maybe we'll have some indications of a win. If Pierre Poilievre gets the kind of votes that the former MP who stepped down, if he gets those kind of numbers, well, they might be able to call it a little bit sooner this evening. But we'll have all the coverage for you right here on CKOM and CJME. Now, besides 204 of these independent voters, there's also quite an interesting mix of other parties that are on the ballot. Of course, you got the Conservatives, the Liberals, the NDP, the Green Party, but there's also a Christian Heritage candidate, there's a centrist candidate, there is a Libertarian, there's a PPC, there's a United Party of Canada, and there's a Marijuana Party candidate on the ballot as well. Battle River Crowfoot. We'll have all those results for you after the polls close after 8:30 tonight at some point. The Evan Bray Show, our final half hour coming up after the news on CKOM and CJME.